This is my conception of my conception. I was conceived on a military reservation, West Point, New York, on the night of January 17, 1920. On the preceding day, alcohol had become an illegal drug. Academy records revealed that there was a dance that Saturday night at the officers' club. And now that booze was illegal, the ingestion of alcohol took on a glamorous, naughty implication. The Roaring Twenties were about to begin. My mother Abigail oft recalled that during her pregnancy, the smell of distilling moonshine and bathtub gin hung like a rowdy smog over Officers' Row. And my father Timothy, known as Tote, was about to convert from social drinking to alcohol addiction. In training me for future life, he often told me that prohibition was bad, but not as bad as no booze at all. It was a very special night. Dressed blue uniforms, white gloves, long gowns, Antoine de Paris mannish shingle bobs. The flirtatious but virtuous Abigail, by all accounts, was the most beautiful woman on the post. Jet black hair, milky soft white skin, curvy Gibson girl figure. Tote was behaving arrogantly as usual. Always the sportsman, he stood at the bar, tall, slim, pouring an illegal recreational drug from a silver pocket flask into the glasses of Omer Bradley, Captain Jeffrey Prentice, and Lieutenant George Patton. Abigail, abandoned at a linen-covered candlelit table, talked to her friend, General Douglas MacArthur, superintendent of the Military Academy, who asked her to dance. Lieutenant Patton, a notorious one-eyeser, cut in. Then Tote approached Abigail's table. Swaying a bit to the Missouri Waltz, my father said, "Look at you there, proper as the Virgin Mary. I'm going to take you home for a little annunciation." Abigail, her elegant poise compromised only by the faintest flush, folded her fan, rose gracefully, waved gaily to her companions, and walked to the cloakroom. Captain Timothy Leary drove his Packard unsteadily to the house on Officers' Row, humming, "Somebody stole my gal." My mother retired in bedroom, changed to her nightgown, knelt beside the bed, and prayed. "Hail, Mother, full of grace." Tote mixed the drink of distilled gin. Draining his glass, he ascended unsteadily to the bedroom, removed his army blue jacket with the two silver bars, his black shoes, his black silk socks, his white BVDs. He lay down next to Abigail and initiated the prim fertilization ritual typical of his generation. Roughly 2 weeks previous, a splendid, once-in-a-lifetime adventurous egg had been selected carefully from the supply of 1 million ova stored in my mother's body and had slowly, sweetly oozed down her soft, silky fallopian highway until it reached, on the night of January 17, 1920, the predetermined rendezvous. The Lord is with thee. At the moment of climax, Tote deposited over 4 million spermatozoa into my mother's, quote, reproductive tract, unquote. Opinions still vary in scientific circles about what then transpired. According to traditional biological scenarios, the 400 million sperm, one of which was carrying half of me, immediately engaged in some Olympic swimming race, jostling, bumping, frantically twisting an Australian crawl or flagellating tail stroke to win the competition, to rape poor, docile, receptive Miss Egg. Reproduction allegedly occurred when a successful jock sperm forcibly penetrated the ovum. I passionately reject this theory of conception. I was not reproduced. I was created by an intelligent teleological process of natural election. Disreputable, goofy Lamarck turns out to be right at the important level of RNA. Like you, I was precisely, intelligently recreated play a role necessary for the evolution of our gene pool. The selection of the fertilizing sperm and the decision about the final chromosome division was made by the egg. It was the she of me that had the final say. Blessed art thou among women. I found myself suddenly rocketed into Abigail's recreation laboratory, exactly where I was supposed to be, in a warm pink ocean cave pulsing with perfume signals and chemical instructions, enjoying the ineffable bliss so oft described by mystics. While up ahead, I saw to my astonishment that Miss Egg, Far from being a passive dumb blob with round heels waiting to be knocked up by some first-arrived, breathless, sweaty, muscular sperm, was a luminescent sun radiating a mute intelligence surrounded by magnetic fields, bristling with phosphorescent radar scanners and laser defenses. With this particular elegant, educated, experienced egg, one did not rush in with macho zeal. Laid back, late blooming, I studied her many sensory apertures, trying to decipher the signals she emitted, trying to figure out, what does woman want? My career depended on it. Naturally, I performed some tricks to attract her attention. They must have worked because soft magnetic attraction floated me gently up the grand ovarian canal, up the boulevard of broken genes, feeling myself measured, treasured, and in some giggling way, sought and taught. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I was eased into this soft, creamy home, my slim serpent body sputtering with pleasure.